So when I was growing up, there's so many memories. I grew up in church, did the church thing ever since I can remember. And we would have this thing that would start off the service where we'd sing this song. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. Let all the earth keep silent before him. And it didn't exactly go like that, but it was something along those lines. And it just started off the service in a very contemplative, serious mood. And it kind of scared me, to be honest with you, when we would sing that song. It was like, wow. And I think there's a truth to that. But I don't necessarily know if that's the song you want to start off your service with all the time. I think there's a balance. I think the celebratory kind of thing and kind of taking God lightly isn't good either. Somewhere in between, because he is both wrath and love, judgment and grace, you know, all those things perfectly combined in our Heavenly Father. What we see here in Habakkuk 2, verse 20, we see something that would show itself as, wow, this is interesting. This is some of the stuff that I would look at and go, he's really answering these woes. He's really dealing with these issues in a deep way, in a way that would make all of us go, okay, what's going on with God? He says here at the end of this, he said, after all those woes, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. So it's basically the song that I sung. And it should be one that where he's taken seriously. It should be one where he's not looked at in a flippant, light, joking way, or a way where I don't fear him the way I ought. And it's important because while all this sin and stuff is going on, God is in his holy temple, monitoring, calculating, controlling. What Habakkuk could know, and what we may know, is that God is in his holy temple, sovereignly governing all things, including the political leaders who are arrogant and evil. So let all the earth be silent before him. So while we wait for God to blast these God mockers, let us do less and less talking and more believing, that just live by faith, knowing what God will do. You see, it's a contrast. The idol sits where it is put without the ability to hear or to respond. But the Lord resides by his almighty power in his holy temple, ready to respond to the needs of his people. The temple probably not only meant the temple in Jerusalem, but also his heavenly sanctuary. God rules over the universe. And when he says keep silent, that's equal to hush, quiet down. This last verse is a fitting conclusion to the final woe, as well as a conclusion to the entire set of woes. And it points back to a prophet making demands of God, asking questions of God, and then retreating to a watchtower to watch or wait for God's answers. And he's impatient with God's silence. Now, he hushes himself in all the world. He's willing to let God act in God's time. And he's willing to wait for God to open his mouth when he chooses. And can you imagine what the world would be like if it just quieted down before God? It just trusted that God is keeping track in heaven, and one day he will judge the earth and he will pronounce woe judgments on all who mock him. God is still on his throne, and there will come a day when all the earth is going to be silent before him. It's clear that God intends to come to fill the earth with the knowledge of God. This verse is a law court, and the man is sitting before a judge, and judgment is coming. This is not a call to worship. This is a call against those who have mocked him. And so, is there ever a time when you just silently wait? There's been times recently where God's been doing things, and I'll be honest with you, I just don't get it. I do not get what he's doing. But every now and then, I just have to quietly bow my head and wait on him. And he hasn't let me down in the past, and so I need to understand that and appreciate and love and trust him as my Heavenly Father. He's the maestro.